minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. This is why watching Monday Night Football, I was sad, but in the back of my mind, I knew only a couple of days away and we were going to see the Denver Nuggets begin their regular season against the Utah Jazz. And I mean, optimism is through the roof on the whole show today. We are jacked. We're ready to rock and roll. And who better to help us paint that picture than Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. He's our Nuggets insider. Brendan, my man, are you ready to rock and roll? Nuggets tonight, man. I can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait. Ready to rock and roll. And this is Christmas afternoon already, right?
Yes, it does, man. It feels like I was so excited. I watched both games last night on TNT. I'm just doing some deep scouting, of course, for the Nuggets.
Of course, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, and again, you do. You kind of want to see what Golden State has, what LA has, as far as, okay, who are the real teams that are going to stand in their way? But first things first, looking at this matchup tonight, we're going to see Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. back in action for this team. I noticed this with Klay Thompson on the broadcast. They mentioned he was kind of on a minute restriction still, even though we saw him last year, 19 minutes or so. What do you see for Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. tonight and perhaps for the next few weeks as far as a minute restriction goes?
Jamal seems likely to me, man. I think maybe 20 to 24 minutes, somewhere in that range. You know, he has been out with that hamstring injury, which, to be clear, he insists is good, was precautionary. He feels fine, but he's been out, so there hasn't been much opportunity for Malone to talk about a potential minutes restriction. So we haven't heard it yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. 20 to 24 minutes seems likely to me. Porter seems to be in a different place. You know, I've talked about this with you before. The surgeries are terrifying and could always pop up again, but it's kind of, I mean, you could play him today or you could play him 3 years from now after you take him out of bubble wrap. That risk is still there. I think he's rearing and ready to go, and so I think they're going to let him play probably closer to 30 than Jamal would, you know, especially with Jamal dealing with the hamstring, which, again, he insists is fine. But soft tissue stuff coming off an ACL injury, they're going to be very cautious with Jamal.
All right, so what about the Joker with that wrist? I mean, we've talked about it, but is it a big deal, or is this, again, just kind of precaution?
Tough one, because Jokic doesn't give us much. You know, he deflects about it, he jokes about it. I would say it's a deal. It's not nothing, but I won't call it a big deal yet. Jokic has been on injury reports in the past with sprained wrists, has sort of, we've seen him grab at and flex that wrist, and it didn't prevent him from winning back-to-back MVPs. So until he tells me, you know, he can't go, I'll reserve on the panic or anything close to that. But it's something to watch, man. It was wrapped again when he talked to the media yesterday. It's clearly bothering him to some extent. I think where we see that manifest, not in a minutes restriction, not in any sort of particular drop in impact, but that three-point shot, which has been inconsistent now for a couple of years, I think it's related to the wrist. So if it pops up, I think that's where you see it.
Okay, now real question, serious question. Can he just learn to shoot left-handed? Because he's the kind of guy who seems like he could do anything.
Oh, man, he gets the Larry Bird comps, right? Not just from us, but also from Pop. So maybe. I bet he could. Anything hand-eye coordination, man, I think he's just got it.
Watch him do that at some point this year. Just start shooting with his left hand, and then he does something completely different to earn a third MVP because he's now shooting with both hands. It could be likely with a guy like that.
He's unbelievable, and again, keeps his cards close to his chest. So as long as he's performing at a high level and telling us it's not a big deal, you know, it's hard for – there's no reason for us to make a bigger deal of it. But again, it's been there for about a year now, on and off. I think we've all seen it. We've all noticed it. So we don't have to pretend it doesn't exist. It's a small-sized elephant in the room.
Brendan, what do you make of, and again, I have not read this full story. I saw it in the headlines scrolling through Twitter. I just saw this from the Denver Post, a guy that just absolutely loves me, Mr. Kisla. He said he's Nikola Jokic growing into Joker the Grouch. Is that joke? I just read the headline. I don't know if it's serious or not. What do you make of that? Have you caught anything from Nikola Jokic that makes you think he's different than he was a year or two ago?
I can see grouchiness, but I don't know if that's different. That's what I would say. You know, being around the team all the time, particularly this time of year, look, he just got back from Serbia. We know he likes being in Serbia. That tournament didn't go as planned. He is a new father who has spent a lot of time away from the baby, and he hates the media thing. We don't have to sugarcoat that. He hates it. So I think there is an element of initial fatigue, right? Before it's even started, I think he's kind of exhausted of the process. But on the court, I think that takes care of himself, of itself, because he's such a competitor. He wants to win. He's not a dramatic, you know, superstar. So I don't really, the mood thing comes and goes. He's mercurial. I kind of don't care so long as he has his eye on the prize on the court. And I think that's part of the maturation we've seen in Jokic over the years, is even as, you know, his attitude fluctuates, he's trying to stay more focused on the task at hand. And the result, again, is two MVPs.
Brendan, and you can speak on this better than most anybody that's covering this team. Is that Joker being annoyed with media, or is it like he doesn't want to be in the limelight? It's not that he's embarrassed or anything. Is that more what it's like?
He gave a great interview in Serbian to a Serbian paper, so I can only paraphrase, but the gist of it, and actually to add on, a lot of people, you know, my Serbian friends tell me he's a very eloquent, thoughtful dude in his native tongue. Not that he's not in English, you can just tell the language barrier frustrates him at times, and maybe he withdraws into his shell. When speaking Serbian, he really is more elaborate, and he's talked about the media as a circus. For him, it's why me? I know I'm good at basketball, but why do you care about me? Why does that make me interesting? And the other thing is, I'm here now, I'm player X. You know, the proverbial tomorrow, it'll be another player, right? And this whole machine will just keep turning. And in the end, it actually doesn't have anything to do with me or anything to do with you. It's just one big circus. And, you know, that's not something from his personality, and then also his background as someone from Sombor, that's just not something he relates to or understands at all.
Which is what makes him even more fascinating, right, Brendan? I mean, just everything about him, which is what's crazy to me, how, like, the national media doesn't, like, jump to this guy. Because everything you just said is another one of those things that just makes him so fascinating. It's almost like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, you never really saw Sauron. You just saw the eye, and that made things more interesting. Because you're like, what is he about? Okay, I see an eye. Not knowing so much about a guy sometimes makes him just a little bit more interesting.
And I agree with you, but again, he would laugh at us for that. He would say, why? Does it? Are you sure something interesting is behind that door? I'm just a man, and I'm reluctantly the best player alive, at least in my opinion. You know, so I think the maturation for Jokic has come with understanding that that stuff is a part of being a franchise player, whether he wants that or not. The rest of being a franchise player, competing with his teammates, the process of trying to get better, ultimately winning a title in Denver, that's very, very important to him. But it's just the circus stuff, which, listen, as someone who participates in it, I get that perspective. I'm not going to stop doing it, but I get that perspective. So he's an interesting guy. At the end of the day, though, he's just a really, really, really good player. And I'm not too concerned about his headspace.
Yeah, Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets, our Denver Nuggets insider. Denver gets set to go up against Utah tonight. And just looking at Utah, Brendan, I mean, you saw Donovan Mitchell's gone, Rudy Gobert, he went to Minnesota. This Utah team, I mean, they went from kind of a championship window, to who the heck are these guys?
Yeah, that's well said. And they're kind of a weird lower-end team, because you go through the roster, there's talent, there's potential, there's names you recognize. You know, the media around the team, at least for now, the message from the team is, hey, we're going to try to win. You know, this is a soft rebuild, not a tank job. We'll see how that goes, you know, how much they lose across the season. Of course, Victor W, you know, lingering in the draft changes that equation for every team. Utah is a team that I feel firmly won't be good, but might be a little bit better than the national expectation. I just wouldn't rule that organization out in terms of finding something that's greater than the sum of its parts. Ultimately, though, they're not a great team. They're not a contender. And from the Nuggets' perspective, you can sort of knock them off the list of teams you're either chasing, contending with, you know, or considering a rival in any way.
Yeah, and you and I kind of outlined some of those teams that might be in the way. Watching the Warriors-Lakers game last night was interesting. The Warriors, One of the narratives, even by me, I think by most of us, was like, hey, is the Jordan Poole Draymond Green thing a thing? Didn't seem like it last night. I mean, Poole was finding Draymond Green down in the paint with great passes. Golden State, I mean, they certainly looked primed and at least ready to attack at least another shot at a championship.
They certainly seem, you know, just about as talented as any team, and coming off a title, that's not a hot take. So they're ready to go. And look, one credit to Draymond, not that I'm eager to give him a bunch of credit right now, is for however unprofessional it gets off the court at times. And clearly the organization and Steve Kerr and others were particularly not happy this time. He's a professional on the court, and he knows what winning looks like, and he knows what the expectation is for him and his teammates. So I don't know if that's going to bubble up on the court a ton, but I guarantee you it's going to factor into, does Draymond get another extension? Is he in L.A. next year? What does he want going forward? I don't know if you caught this. He was on the court in the middle of the game calling LeBron's name and joking with him. You know, he's really become a clutch and LeBron guy, and that's where you kind of see the two parties drifting apart. But I do think on the court, they're going to get it together, and they're going to be a contender.
Yeah, well, and it'll be interesting to see how the, on the other side, the Lakers end up doing, you know, end up getting kind of blown out for the most part, made it, I don't know, kind of interesting late. But I watched most or all the first half and finally fell asleep watching it late into the fourth. You know, if you would have told me LeBron's going to end up with 31 points, I would have said, no way. It's crazy how LeBron, no matter what kind of game he has, he ends up with 30-plus points. Is that just because he constantly has the ball? I mean, I don't look at LeBron right now and say, oh, that's a guaranteed 31 points, but there he is.
Yeah, and averaging just about 30 last year, right? He's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
I do think some of it is a focus shift, to be honest. I do, you know, particularly last season, that team clearly looked themselves in the mirror pretty early on and said, we are not winning a title. And from my estimation, LeBron looked at that season and said, I'm not coming out of this empty-handed. I'm going for the scoring title. And, you know, of course, now across the grander scale, he's chasing Kareem, all-time points. So, yes, the ball's in his hand. Yes, it's a concerted effort, a conscious decision, but also funny to laugh at the fact that that's a decision he can make at this age. Mm. Oh, I've just decided to compete for the scoring title. You know, I don't know if he's really in the way now as a contender, you know, but he's still special, and it's still fun to watch him play.
All right, Brandon, before we let you leave, I don't know if we put you through this before, the rapid fire segment. Yes. I'm just going to throw a few things at you as we start this season, and you just answer. It doesn't have to be correct, just whatever hits your brain right off the bat. All right, let's do it, Angel. Rapid fire. Will Nikola Jokic be the three-time MVP?
No.
Is Jamal Murray an all-star at the end of the season?
No.
Well, halfway through the season, I suppose.
Yeah, no.
Bones Highland, will he be in consideration, at least small consideration for Sixth Man of the Year?
I think so, yeah. He's going to get attention. Yep, going to get attention.
Over or under 49 wins for Denver?
Over.
Hammer that over. How far will Denver go this season?
I think they win the title.
Oh, so then my next question is moot. Will Michael Malone be fired at the end of the season? And the answer has to be no.
Well, hey, listen, they fired George Karl after the... No, I'm just kidding.
I was just thinking that.
I think it's no. I think they win. At least they have everything they need to, man. So we'll see.
Will the Joker let his hair ever grow out?
Oh, good question. Yeah, it'll get a little long in the winter, around December or January.
Then we get that interesting little beard there. He did just cut it, right? Am I wrong on that? He just got a new cut.
Fresh fade. Look out, everyone.
That's always scary, Joker. Here, last one. The music's gone, but will we see the return of the headband?
Oh, I'm going to say no, but I wish it was yes.
We both do. Angel, my producer, and I, it's all we talk about. Like, every day it comes up, even in random conversation, tragedies happen, and we're both like, I wonder if Joker's going to wear the headband.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Going to bed at night, like, just one more time, maybe?
Brandon, my man, I love what you do. I love your Nuggets coverage, and I'm glad we can connect at least kind of on a weekly basis, man. We sure appreciate you.
My pleasure, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. There he is. Brendan Vogt. DNVR Nuggets, he says, Joker's not going to repeat as the three-time MVP. Jamal Murray will not be an all-star. Bones Highland will be in consideration for sixth man of the year. The Nuggets will destroy that over. And the Nuggets will win a title. The Nuggets will win a title. Which, again, my final question was, because I didn't think he was going to go there. I thought he was going to say they go to the Western Conference Finals. Would that mean they move on from Michael Malone? Well, if you win a title, Angel, you're not moving on from Michael Malone.
And we keep saying it, win a title. But being able to say that and feel confident about it is amazing.
Oh, I feel
amazing.
Good about it. Yeah. I mean, this isn't like Peyton Manning 2013. When I felt like the Broncos offense was, that was the second year, they picked up right where they left off after the Baltimore game. They were so freaking good. That was the year they went to the Super Bowl, right? They were so good, they get blown out. But that year, I was like, yeah, I would put a significant amount of money, if I had it, on the Broncos to win the Super Bowl. I don't feel that good about the Nuggets, but I feel like you could flip a coin and it could be either Golden State or Denver to win the Western Conference Finals.
I agree. It just, you say it and you just think about this team and all the potential to win a title is right there. You just have to go do it.
You have to go do it. I mean, again, here's the things. If I'm going through this roster, Joker is fine. Just
great.
Hope you don't hurt your wrist. That's all. Whatever. Aaron Gordon, can you be tough all the time?
We need to see playoff Gordon
again. When you're in the game, I want to see paint Gordon. I want to see guy going down in the paint and doing the dirty work. Michael Porter Jr., are you healthy? Do you know where you are on defense? Can you possess a killer instinct, a killer attitude, not just waiting for your three-point shot, but creating shots? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, we know you're a good defensive player, you're a good scorer. You got to be better than Will Barton. If we upgrade that position, that's a big hit. Jamal Murray, can you stay healthy? There's three of those in the starting lineup, which is kind of scary. Can you stay healthy? Can you tease an all-star appearance? Can you tease one? I'm not saying you have to get one. Can you be in the mix? And then just quickly, Bones Highland. Chris Paul thinks that Bones Highland's great. Chris Paul says that Bones Highland does everything the right way. Can you live up to that hype? Because now you got hype. Last year, didn't know who you were. Skinny dude. Bones, cool nickname. Like it. Fun. But then you heard him say, when he came out and intro'd the Nuggets last year, Mile High City, baby. When he hit that, we're like, who's this little guy with the spunk, man, with the fire? And then he started showing that. You have expectations now. Last year you didn't. You have expectations now. Can you live up to those? Bruce Brown, you have expectations to be a defensive player. You say you like it in Denver much better than Brooklyn because the media attention isn't crazy. Talk about a circus. Can you use that to your advantage and kind of play within the shadows, so to speak, and be a defensive threat? That's kind of my big questions about the rest of this team. I mean, the other guys are just guys. I mean, Christian Brown, I don't know if we're really going to see him much this year. Maybe we will. Zeke Nnaji, my expectations are big question marks because every time I get my hopes set, he gets hurt or whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, if those guys answer all those questions the right way, what the rest of these guys do, the Jeff Greens, the DeAndre Jordans, the Davon Reeds, the Ish Smiths, it doesn't matter. If those guys that I mentioned, the most important, crucial pieces to this puzzle, answer those questions, it doesn't matter what the rest of these guys do, as long as they're somewhat positive.
Completely agree.
All right, let's get rocking and rolling. 7 o'clock tonight, Nuggets, Jazz. They are 7.5-point favorites, depending on what you look at. 7-point favorite, 8-point favorite? Has it moved to 8 now? I don't know. But I think it's going to be a fun night. Can't wait to see this team in action. 12:24 the time. Don't forget, we will have Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, join us at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to do the lunch rush coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
28 minutes after the hour. This is where, well, I guess around the time, we take a look at the top stories trending nationally with the whole show Lunch Rush. And, wow. What is going on with the NFL owners? Something's going on, man. We are in a world where anything and everything the NFL does, we are paying attention. It's front page news because it's the NFL. But now you've got the owners getting together here quite a bit, quite frequently. We knew they were going to get together Tuesday for an NFL owners meeting. They voted 31-1 on Tuesday to permit their compensation committee to open negotiations on a new contract with Commissioner Roger Goodell. But not before two of the owners exchanged a few powerful words. Jerry Jones of the Cowboys and Robert Kraft of the Patriots. They exchanged in a heated battle of words at the end of this thing. Kraft joined the overwhelming majority in strong support for the measure, with Jones, who was the lone... He was the lone nay. He was by himself. And it was very awkward, very uncomfortable. Jones was the lone dissenter in the owner's only session, eventually telling Kraft, "Don't F with me." Kraft said, "Excuse me?" Jones said, "Don't mess with me." Then the measure passed. Like, what would that fight look like?
Hey, listen here, Robert.
Like, what did they fight about? Just the fact that Jones didn't go with all the owners?
Maybe someone took the last applesauce or something.
Probably. Know. Those are my teeth, Jerry. Come on, I need those. I'm married now. Or maybe, okay, this isn't the first time those guys have, that Jones has been outspoken and opposed a new contract for Goodell. He went against it in 2017. So those guys are old buddies. More ownership news. Jim Irsay has spoken up a little bit. Their call, I mean, obviously we know the NFL is the NFL owner, and NFL owners actually publicly calling for serious consideration. Jim Irsay is the first one we've heard like publicly say it like this. Colts owner Jim Irsay held an explosive interview at the fall meetings yesterday. He called Snyder's missteps as owner, particularly with workplace conduct, gravely concerning. He said, "I believe there is merit to removing him as an owner, or as the owner of the Commanders. There's consideration that he should be removed." Ooh, man. "The league requires 24 of 32 owners to approve such a vote, which never has been done at the NFL level." Is it going to happen? Stan Snyder going to be removed? And once he is, we see the dam break open and a bunch of stuff comes out of it?
It's going to be a very interesting situation to see how it all unfolds. You got the owners against Snyder, Snyder's against Goodell. Some of the owners are against Goodell.
Some of the owners are against Snyder.
Yep. It's old men's club.
Snyder's against some of the owners. Ah, boy. Basketball last night. I'm just going to say it. I feel bad for Russell Westbrook. I like Russell Westbrook. I said it yesterday. The NBA needs guys like that. Guys you love to hate. I feel bad for the dude. Russell Westbrook was confused by everything last year. And he does say that the decision for the new Los Angeles Lakers coach, Darvin Ham, to bring him off the bench in LA's preseason finale could have caused the hamstring strain he suffered last night. So he's kind of battling that. But also Charles Barkley and Shaq were talking about Russell Westbrook. Shaq's like, the Lakers need to trade him. Stephen A. Smith said the Lakers need to trade. Stephen A. Smith said the Lakers have robbed him of his joy for basketball. And I've heard that guys playing with LeBron James. But Charles Barkley went off on how the Lakers just are destroying this guy's career, his mentality, everything about what he, is when it comes to basketball. Listen, 17-8-8. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. That's what Russell Westbrook's numbers are. He's not the shooter that he once was. He has some bonehead turnovers. Man, that guy plays with heart. That guy plays with passion. 12:33 the time on Joe. We need to jump out real quickly. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. We have the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, on with us on our First Advantage Hotline. And the very first question, Mark, was his foot in? Was Montana Lamonius Craig's foot in? The heel looked like it was there.
It was in. I don't think there's any question about that. I think, and believe me, I'm saying it's a touchdown, so don't get me wrong here. But the opposing view out there could say, did he actually have control of the football before the foot came up? So, there are times after you've been doing games so long for the Buffaloes as I have, you start seeing with your heart, not with your eyes. And I thought it was a touchdown.
Well, so there's so many different, like every other time I watch it, I see the opposite. It's what's crazy. I see, his heel was still kind of touching a blade of grass when he had control. Oh, no, he didn't quite have control once the foot was up. I go back and forth, but it is what it is. It's a win.
Well, Brady, I'll say this. What really surprised me is the fact that they overturned it.
I was shocked by that, too.
Yeah. So when it happened in real time, as I'm calling it, it looked like it was so fast that it wasn't even close. And so all of a sudden they decided they're going to review it. And I looked at Gary on the air and I said, reviewing what? I mean, it seems so obvious to me. And then our guys at Buffish had put it up on the big screen there in the stadium. And I said, Gary, holy cow, he might have actually got the foot down. And which did not appear to be that. You know, we're looking at it from about 60 yards away, you know, down the near sideline, so anyone have a great view of it. But I was shocked that they even reviewed it. So once I saw it, I thought this might actually go in our favor, and it certainly did end up going the Buffs' favor. So listen, with all the hard luck and all of the awful football we've had a chance to watch, I'm taking it, and I will apologize to nobody for it.
No, and you absolutely shouldn't, and neither should Mike Sanford getting the dub here. Right. We talked about what it would look like for him to be in realistic consideration to take over as the real head coach next season. Well, winning your first game as the Buffs' interim head coach doesn't hurt.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, he's still got work to do, obviously, got six games remaining. But, listen, what he's done with this thing so far in the 2.5 weeks – has been fantastic in terms of energy, in terms of what they're doing, how he's approaching it, how this team is accepting what he's doing. You know, he's created all sorts of internal, you know, competitions at practice, and they've got, you know, a lot of fun stuff they've been doing after the game the other night. It was family week, and they had a family picnic at the indoor practice facility, rather. And so, you know, he's really doing a nice job, you know, moving this thing on through what's been a very tough season, and they had a great start. So I give him a great amount of credit, and I've said before, I hope he makes it very difficult on Rick George when Rick's got to make a decision on this deal, because that means he's won a good chunk of football games, and he's going to make a heck of an argument for himself as maybe being the Buffs' next head coach.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that be something, too? You find a way to turn this thing into a positive, and that was such a big win. And again, even the weekend before that, we talked about the team up north of you, Mark. That was something where people got really excited, even though our expectations have gone out the roof, or out the door, so to speak, of both programs. It's amazing when your expectations change and you finally do get a win, no matter how you get a win. It feels great, and the students were storming the field, and they so should have. I absolutely love that they did that.
There's no doubt. And, you know, when that was happening on the air, you know, and I said, to kind of put it in context, I said, listen, those around the country will look at this and criticize the fact that the students are storming the field. I said, look at the context. Look at what's going on. They didn't beat Alabama. They didn't beat USC. They didn't beat Clemson. But they won a game after starting 0-5 and is lopsided. So I said, am I always a big fan of storming the field? No. Under these circumstances, do it. Enjoy yourself. This program deserves it right now. And so I was perfectly fine with that. And you know the way it works. You've heard me say it before. You win a ball game, and all of a sudden, you know, the food tastes better, the air is sweeter, the girls are pretty. Man, everything looks better when you win a ball game. That was true in Fort Collins the week before, and it certainly was true in Boulder last Saturday.
Well, I think you're exactly right. You have to look at the crowd storming, the field storming, at everything, you know, within context, every story, every situation. Now, if the Buffs had already won a game or two or whatever, I'd be like, why are you storming beating Cal here? But, you know, the Buffs, they couldn't cover a spread. I mean, these spreads were crazy, like 20, 23 points in some of them, in some cases. So yeah, I would if I, you know, if I had the ability to, I would have stormed the field as well, Mark. But that's dangerous down there for me, man.
You would have pulled something, yes. And, you know, fallen down and hurt yourself. And,
yes.
You know, then you have to miss work, and it wouldn't have been worth it for you and I. But for those kids out there, let them do. You know, how about that celebration, by the way, when Tennessee won, the goalposts ended up in the river, I think, when it was all said and done. But yeah, it's always fun when that happens, when you wouldn't do it for a big ball game. This wasn't a big ball game. It was big circumstances, so that would be the difference for what happened on Saturday.
Well, I'll save these questions for the next few weeks because, you know, just thinking about Mike Sanford, and if there is a meter right now for, you know, going over to the right means he's going to be the next head coach for the Buffs, or on the left side of it's like there's no way. Where would you put that little arrow right now, Mark? And again, I'll ask those kind of deeper questions about Sanford as the season progresses, but where is that arrow?
Well, I think, you know how on ESPN, those game casts have got the win percentage, you know, possibility?
Yes.
Yeah, I think right now it's still 5 or 10% for Mike Sanford.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think there's a great – one game does not prove anything. We've seen, the week before interim coaches went 4-0, I think heading into last week and they were 6-3, it doesn't prove anything when you win one game. A lot of times there's a bounce back. Let's see what happens now moving forward. You know, listen, I think we're learning a lesson, aren't we, about maybe jumping the gun on things by giving Russell Wilson $250 million before we actually see what he is, right? So don't jump the gun, but enjoy this. Appreciate what's happening with the Buffs, winning a game. Now let's see what Mike can do moving forward. So I think at this point, if you're putting any percentage on, it's going to be a very low percentage. Now, if we're sitting here next week and we're talking about a 2-0 team and they beat a very good quality Oregon State team on Saturday, you go, okay, well, you know, maybe it's a 30% chance now. Maybe, you know, so every time he does something, this thing continues to roll along, and he appears to be turning it. I think that percentage is going to go up.
I just have this weird feeling, Mark, that there might be an upset coming against Oregon State. I don't know why, and I haven't made my picks yet till Friday. Am I crazy? Am I nuts here?
Well, listen, it's going to be a challenging game, no doubt about that. I think what Oregon State is, and by the way, yes, you are crazy. So let's just get that out of the way. Then we'll talk about your
let's get the obvious out of the way.
Yeah, let's get that. That's easy, the answer. Oregon State's a very physical football team. They run it very effectively, right? And they kind of beat you up. We've seen that, what they did against the USC a few weeks ago. And, of course, they did that very solidly against Washington State last weekend. So can Colorado go in there and win? Certainly they can. I mean, they're not an insurmountable football team. But they're going to have to continue to show the improvement we saw last week. I like what Chapman was doing, the defensive coordinator on defensive side of the ball. A lot of movement out there defensively, trying to create pressure. I think offensively, although they weren't great last week, you're starting to see an identity finally come out of it a little bit. So there's a lot to like about what I'm seeing. So is it crazy? No, I don't think it's crazy. Right now, is it unlikely? I mean, the spread's like, what, 23.5 or 24 points or whatever it is. So it's still, Vegas doesn't believe in Colorado. So let's see what Colorado's able to, drum up and see if they can take another step this week.
Mark, do you ever remember, with all of the football, as bad as it is, talking Broncos up in Fort Collins, even Air Force, who I think had a lot of high expectations, well, they've kind of been in an interesting spot. They lost to Utah State. Yeah. They barely beat Navy. But they've got these sanctions against them, too. So that kind of maybe sours the image a little bit this season. Do you remember a season as bad as this collectively when we're talking about so much Colorado football?
No. I was just on a show in my home state of in North Dakota, back in Fargo, North Dakota, here about an hour ago. Old buddy of mine that I played high school and college basketball against, and he kind of brought that up, and I said, well, didn't you know Colorado's no longer a football state? It's Hockey Town, USA now. Right?
Feels like it.
Yeah, no doubt. But, no, you're right. And it's sad. And the fans of Colorado, and I mean that Colorado in terms of the state, not University of Colorado, but include them, deserve much better than this. I mean, this has been such a great football state for a long time. You've got proud programs, down at the Springs and Boulder and Fort Collins and, of course, the Broncos that have seen championship football and been at the highest levels of the sport. So, no, we deserve better than this, I think, in the state right now. And listen, Air Force is having a nice season at 5-2, but it's really kind of sad where it is, especially in Boulder and Fort Collins right now. And both sets of fans certainly deserve a lot more than that.
Mark, even CSU fans deserve more than that, you would say?
All except for one Saturday every few years they play, yes.
Mark, my friend.
Because it's good for everybody. We're all playing well. It's good for everybody, you know?
I just had to ask. I had to see. And see, Rams fans listening, Mark's a good guy. They can trust you. Mark,
see,
my friend.
Back in the day, think about it back in the day. Like right about the time I was getting when you had Sonny and Gary were coaching. And I mean, they're going back. Those were great games.
Oh, yes.
And it was a great time to be a college football fan in the Centennial State. And I'd love to see that again here in the not-too-distant future.
That's the realistic thing. I mean, it's way more memorable when we can go back and name characters and great
right.
legends of the game or back and forth. And we hated that guy because he was so good. And we want those kind of things again. And maybe someday we'll get there, Mark. I don't know when that's going to come, but a guy can dream.
I hope so.
All right, man. Mark, appreciate you as always. Love your calls. Absolutely love your stuff. When there are big moments and you get to call those big moments, I love hearing it, my friend.
I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 49 minutes after the hour. I wrote something down in my notes that we need to talk about. Pen went out, so it's just an indent into the paper. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break, and I will try to decipher what it is I wrote down on this yellow piece of paper. We'll be right back.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Call me if you don't come at all. You leave your peace in on, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all. Come heavy or don't come at all.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Okay, all right. Let me get this straight. Nathaniel Hackett sat down with Melvin Gordon. I just read a report that Melvin Gordon is not going to be traded by the Broncos. He's not going to be officially demoted by the Broncos. He's being promoted. He's going to start Sunday against the Jets. Is that right, Angel? Is that true? That's a true story.
Yes.
That's a real story. Okay, so let me just, I'm thinking of this after seeing the pouty looks from Melvin Gordon and Nathaniel Hackett not playing him. So here's how the conversation goes down. Melvin Gordon knocks on the door, and here's Nathaniel. I'll be Nathaniel Hackett. You be Melvin Gordon, Angel. All right, come on in, Melvin, buddy. Come on in. All right, yeah, shut the door behind you. This is going to be uncomfortable, okay? This is going to be uncomfortable. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Coach. What's going on?
Melvin, you moped. Oh, let me take that back. I'm sorry. I forgot about you, to be real honest. I didn't remember everybody on the roster, and I just decided to not call your name and get you in the game. So,
see, I don't think that's fair, Coach, because you know, my name's pretty easy. You just call me 25. You know, that's
you have
my number.
Two first names in some
I'm
cases.
Over here with Jerry, wherever you're talking. We're not happy, Coach. I'm a little frustrated.
I didn't love that you guys were talking bad about me behind my back, or Russell. That wasn't nice. And I'm nervous. I can't have that, Melvin. I can't do it.
I get it, Coach. I mean, you gave him all this money. You gave me some money, but you know, I keep dropping the ball, and that's my fault. I got to work on it. But you know, I should be a starter. I'd be the greatest running back on this team.
Good enough for me. You're in, buddy. Good talk.
Appreciate it, Coach. See you in the field.
Like, what is this about? Okay, goodbye, Melvin. What are we doing here? Hey, Melvin, man, I didn't give you any carries in that. What do you have, like 3 carries in the game, 8 yards? And you moped like you were circling the sidelines like a lion, but not the fierce kind, the one that's like, you know, the illegal circus kinds or whatever. You should not be that sad and that mopey and poisoning my locker room. I didn't give you any carries because I don't trust you. Mike Boone was elevated over you, and now you're going to start? I'm not a Melvin Gordon hater, let me just be very clear. But after the decision to not give him any playing time, specifically in the second half, and then seeing him mope around like that and borderline crying on the sidelines, I just don't understand what we're doing. John says, when the pen runs out, you can always wing it by talking about pizza or rock music. I don't know what that means. Probably a reference to something I said earlier, but I must well. Oh, I get you. I get you now. The pen. Gordon was the thing. What are we doing here, dude? You just said something big needs to happen again for Hackett to be in consideration for losing his job. Isn't this a big thing?
Is this an opportunity to boost his trade value?
Because you got what? One more week? Two more weeks?
November 1st.
All right. That's possible. That's what are we doing here? All right. We've got today in the NFL coming up, future headlines, and we're going to get ramped up for the Denver Nuggets-Utah Jazz game. We'll be right back.